The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Matthew. Another parable Jesus put before the crowds. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds. But when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field where someone found and hid it. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who's been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. The Gospel of the Lord.
Please be seated. May God bless the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart. And welcome to those that are tuning in online. Hi, Marlene. Wanted to give a shout out there. Okay, well, welcome back, and I am so glad to be back with you. I feel like I'm home, and I've missed you, and I want to say thank you to Father Joseph and Father Clark and others, everybody that helps everything run so smoothly. I can't tell you how meaningful that is as a priest while you're away, especially so early in the beginning, to be away and everything just runs smoothly, kind of like I'm not needed around here, which is actually kind of nice, you know, but it's great to be back. And this particular week, we're looking at some more stories, some more parables now that Jesus is giving us. And this time, he doesn't give us all the details like he did a couple weeks ago with the parable of the sower. In that particular parable, he gave us a really good detailed analysis of what all the parts mean. But in this particular passage that we look at today, he talks to us about the kingdom of heaven and gives us several illustrations for the kingdom of heaven rather rapidly without a lot of detail. So let's unpack just a little bit about what Jesus is saying here, and then perhaps we can see how that applies to our lives and see what that might do to change how we live within the kingdom of God. Now, the first thing that we need to understand is that the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, as it's referred to in this particular passage, is spoken to an audience that understood heaven a little bit differently than we do. Our Jewish dear brothers and friends and sisters had a different understanding and focus when they thought about the afterlife, specifically in heaven. They were more focused on land and the future generations, their ancestry, and the blessing of God. You see that whole idea of land being so important to our Jewish friends even to this day, speaking about Israel and that whole area and soil rather than souls that God is talking about with the kingdom of heaven was very, very important. And they didn't always have in their theology an idea of a spirit living in heaven. It was more the idea of generations living on through their descendants. And so Jesus is helping them make a shift here in their understanding of the kingdom of heaven. And I think it's also appropriate for us as well, because today there's also some other misgivings about the kingdom of heaven. For example, we have our Lord's Prayer that we pray, which is really the disciples' prayer, where he is teaching them how to pray. And one of the things that he says is, "Your kingdom come." Well, what does he mean by that? Some of our Christian friends out there, there's a particular belief these days called Christian nationalism that believes that we are to usher in the kingdom of God through laws and judgments. And I think Jesus is offering not only something to the Jewish listeners then and to some that might believe in forming a kingdom here in some kind of tangible kind of way, I think Jesus is letting us know that what the kingdom of heaven is, first and foremost, is a kingdom of hearts. And of course, there's the kingdom of heaven that's going to come in the future, but the already part is that Jesus is reminding us that he is first the king of our souls rather than soil. And he established that the first time he came. He didn't come as a king with a sword and establishing a kingdom with armies and ships and those kinds of things. He came as a humble, suffering servant to change the heart conditions of people. And then, of course, we do have the other idea, the not yet part that we haven't experienced, at least we haven't, our loved ones have, of the idea of heaven to come, right? John chapter 14, he says, "I go to prepare a place for you, and where I am, there you will be also." So we have these two ideas of the kingdom of heaven, the already, that's God ruling in our hearts, and the yet to come, that heavenly understanding that we know of for the place of those loved ones of ours and ourselves one day to be together in heaven. And so Jesus is talking about this kingdom of heaven, and with that understanding, he begins to help us understand just a little bit about who the kingdom of heaven is for and how important it is. And he starts with this idea of the mustard seed. Now, we have other passages that talk about the faith of a mustard seed, right? You just need that little tiny seed, and it can do so many things in our life. Here, Jesus is using the mustard seed as an example of how the kingdom grows. And this is really important because our Jewish friends would have been teaching that it was very hard to be accepted into the kingdom of God. You have to follow these rules, and there's all sorts of things that you have to do according to the Hebrew scriptures and all sorts of rules, especially if you were a Gentile. All of these rules to follow, and Jesus is saying, no, no, no. The kingdom of heaven is like a weed. It grows anywhere and everywhere. You see, that's what the mustard seed was. It was a seed that could grow in all types of soil, and it would grow quickly, and it would become this giant bush, sometimes up to 15 feet high. And this was really important because Jesus is letting them know that every single person is welcome in the kingdom of heaven. He's teaching them that this weed is the way to describe how God's love is for this world. Remember, God said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." And so this would have been a transition for the listeners originally to understand that the kingdom of heaven grows like a weed in everyone's heart that will receive it. And that's an important thing for us to understand. It wasn't like an avocado tree that you have to wait forever for those avocados to be harvested. That would be more of a religious kind of way. This idea was that this seed was for anyone and everyone, and if it's received, the Spirit of God can do great things, and it will grow in you in an incredible way. Now, he goes on to talk about another thing very quickly. He just rapidly goes through these types of illustrations for heaven. The next one is leaven. And the person in the story, he says, adds 3 measures, which would equal, when you are done, up to 20 quarts of dough to make all of this bread. And the idea here, again, for the original listeners, is, wait a second, you're mixing the leaven with this dough. Kind of sounds like you're letting anybody in here, Jesus, and that's exactly the message. This was no longer just about the people of Israel. This was about everybody. And we could mix, and we could all get along. And when we all mixed together, guess what? The kingdom increases. The message goes forth, and more people get involved, and more people are fed. And so Jesus is flipping the script on them and helping them understand that together, all are to hear about the kingdom of heaven, and all are welcome to that kingdom as well. Now he switches from anybody and everybody and who the message is for to talk a little bit about how important it is. He talks about this man who finds this land, and he finds some treasure on the land, and then he goes and sells his possessions so he could buy this land and harvest this treasure. He's letting us know that this is really, really important. This kingdom of heaven is worth selling our possessions for and really being focused on it. The story is told of a man that kind of had the wrong focus with his wealth. He had worked very hard his entire life, and he wanted every last cent that he had earned, and he was a multimillionaire. He had earned all of this money. He wanted every cent of his money in the casket with him. Now, of course, his children were very upset by this. They were looking for some type of inheritance. But what frustrated his children even more is that he didn't leave anything for his wife. He wanted to make sure that all of it was with him and didn't leave anything for her either. Well, sure enough, he passes away. And his wife wanted to be very respectful of his wishes. And so the children, after the funeral service, they noticed that the casket was sealed. And after the funeral services, they said, "Mom, did you really bury Dad with all of his money?" And she said, "I sure did. I left him a check." The point is, he was focused on the wealth of here and now. In this story, Jesus is saying the kingdom of heaven, the one where God rules and lives in our hearts, that is worth all of our possessions, all of our life, giving it up for, because the King of Hearts loves us and loves everyone. And that is a kingdom worth giving up things for. And so the idea is now he shifts just a little bit, still talking about value, and talks about this pearl of great price or of great value. But what's interesting about this, did you notice? He doesn't say heaven is like a pearl of great price. He says it is like a merchant that is looking for this perfect pearl and finally finds it and then sells all of his possessions just to have that. Again, talking about the value of the kingdom of God, both the here and the now. The here and the now, and the future kingdom of God, right, in heaven. And he's once again saying how important it is. And the idea is that once he sees this incredible pearl, he wants it so badly, he wants it to be a part of his life. The story's told of a monk that was farming on the property of the monastery, and he's tilling the soil, and he comes across this incredible gem. He knows right away. He knows the soil and the land and the rocks very well. He knows right away that this gem is incredibly expensive. It's worth a fortune. He takes the gem, places it in his bag. Well, later that week, a traveler comes by, as they often did to the monastery, looking for food. And the monk reaches into his bag, and the traveler notices the gem in his bag as he's grabbing some food for this traveler. And the monk reaches in, hands the traveler some food to care for his needs. Of course, the traveler noticed the gem, and he says, "You know, I'd really like to have that gem." So sure enough, the monk opens the bag, reaches into the bag, and he hands the traveler the gem. And the traveler goes on his way. As the story's told, a week later, the man comes back with the gem in his hand. He said, I had this gem appraised, and it is worth a fortune. In fact, it's priceless. And the monk said, I know. And the traveler said, what I want is not this gem. I want whatever you have that could let you give it up. And friends, that's what Jesus is talking about here. This kingdom of heaven is far more important than any job that we might have, any IRA or income that we have from our retirement accounts, anything that you can imagine in this world. It is far more important to have the peace and love of God living in and through our hearts and to one day be in his presence. Like Paul says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Friends, there is nothing more important or valuable than that. And that's what Jesus is letting his hearers and you and I know is important, that the kingdom of heaven is a kingdom of hearts that all of us can have. Well, then he goes on to the story of the net. Did you hear that part too? It's like a fisherman that puts his net out into the sea and he brings in all kinds of fish. And I love the word that's used here. The Greek word is the word genos, which has the idea of all types of fish. And I love that because once again, the original listeners are kind of focused on one type of person or one type of people or a lineage or a heritage. And Jesus is flipping the script again, and he's saying, no, no, it's about any person and every person. He wants them all. And so they bring all of these fish in, and you notice that they didn't get distinguished by the types of fish. He changes the illustration, and he says he weeds out the evil and the unrighteous. And the idea isn't so much a discussion of heaven or hell, although sometimes our minds go to that. And if you have questions about heaven or hell, ask Father Joseph after the service. He'll tell you everything you need to know. But the idea is that he's separating evil, not peoples. That's what I love about what Jesus is saying. No matter who you are, where you're from, what you look like, what your past was, you are to be caught in this net of love, and you are welcome. What isn't welcome is hate and the infliction of pain upon others. And that's weeded out, he talks about, so that the love of God in the hearts of people remains. And so in all of these different stories, Jesus is trying to help us understand that the kingdom of heaven is for anyone and everyone. He's trying to help us understand that the kingdom of heaven in our hearts, the King of Hearts, is far more valuable than anything else in our lives. And so to summarize all of these ideas, number one, it is open for everyone. It's worth everything that we have. And it is not up to us what the kingdom of heaven is all about in the end. It's not up to us who gets in and who isn't in. We don't get to be the judge. That's God's job. If I was in charge of that, I wouldn't even make it. But thankfully, we serve a God who so loved the world, anybody and everybody. And he has created both here and now this wonderful kingdom of hearts. Oh, I long for it to be the kingdom of the way of life politically and socially and civilly. I long for that day. But right now, he is the King of Hearts. And one day, we'll live with the King of Hearts in the kingdom of heaven in a very physical way as well. What does that beautiful illustration and that value of the kingdom of heaven mean for you? I hope that in your life it helps you understand what is really important. Kate and I just had the challenging task of taking 20 years of possessions and 4 children's stuff and stuff from my past parents and putting it all together in one box of 18 feet by 8 feet by 7 feet. And the truth is, if that box didn't even get delivered, we have, and I have, the most important thing. And that is the God of the universe expressed through Jesus Christ incarnate in my life and in her life. What does that look like for you? And how will that be expressed in your conversations, in your attitudes, in our actions towards others? What does the kingdom of heaven look like for you? Amen. Thank you.